Given that we've just seen another compelling video regarding what happens to the victims, I suppose it's a good point to refocus, as all of our work around this issue should do, back onto that. And we're going to hear now from a project in Loughborough in Leicestershire called the Backer Project. It works in the incredibly sensitive field of caring for young victims of trafficking. It's developed some very particular tools for communicating with them in order to help them find the courage to acknowledge what has happened to them. And again, as we've mentioned earlier this morning, just recognising the fact that they may have been trafficked. Their entire focus is on giving practical help and reassurance to the victims in its care, giving them shelter and time to process what they've been through. So to talk us through their work and also to present some of the stories of the victims that they've heard in the course of that work, please welcome the project director for Backer, the acting director for Backer, Louise Jarvis, and along with her, Claire Fletcher.
Thank you very much for the invitation to come here and just have an opportunity just to share with you all a little bit about us. So we've been introduced a bit, but I'm just going to kind of pick on a few points before we move on to sharing a couple of stories from young people. So Backer, as I said, is a charity. We're based in the Midlands of the UK, where we've been working and set up about 7 years ago to work mainly at that stage with unaccompanied asylum-seeking young children. And this has now led us on to actually working with victims and potential victims of trafficking. We provide accommodation and support with a real vision that these young people find a home and a family where they can start to recover from the trauma they have been through. We recognise that they may only be with us for a short period of time, and as with the travellers described in Psalm 84, where it's described that they walk through the valley of Backer, we work to be a family for these people so they might go from strength to strength onward and beyond. Our inspiration from the start was actually from Isaiah 61, where it says in verse 1, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." It then goes on in verse 4, "They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." And this is the heart of what we do. We believe passionately that yet these young people are more than victims, that they first can become survivors, but then from that, they actually move on to being thrivers. That these young people, if they wish, can go on and be the people that rebuild the ruins, that they are the ones that we will rebuild the cities and communities that have long been devastated. And investment in them and belief in them from day one for us is key in that. And that from that first day that they are with us, maybe straight from the prison cell from the police, and on that first day they arrive with us, they actually, we put them straight into English lessons and skills workshop. And this education runs in parallel with the other work and all the various meetings they have to attend. Because we want to say in all that we're doing that we are saying to them that you have a future, that your past will not shape your future, but you have a future and it's one of hope. So today we want to just share a couple of stories from two young people that are actually in our care at this moment. We did not want to bring the young people down here to share personally themselves. Obviously, they're still going through a lot of trauma and having to go through quite a tough time, and I think to share in front of a room full of policemen and women probably wouldn't have been helpful for their sanity. So we're here just to kind of be representative for them. So we're going to share on their behalf. And we're going to do this in a way that we hope captures the essence of their journeys to date. We appreciate that some here of you, English is not your first language, but we really hope that you're able just to catch the heart of what we're saying. Claire, my colleague, has written the following based on stories that these two young people have shared with us. And she's used words that these young people have actually used themselves when they've been sharing about the different things they've been through to describe their experiences of the journeys. she noticed particularly and picked up the concept that the young people have of home and what that means to them and what it meant for them on the different stages of their journey from their home country to now their new home in our care in Baca. So I hope you are able to follow and just enjoy and share these young people's story.
What makes home, home? Is it just a roof and four walls, a place to return when evening calls? Is it a question of size, shape and structure, purely a matter of architecture? What makes home, home? Does it come down to the interior design, oak, beech or pine, whether you go for curtains or blinds? What makes home, home? Is it the age of the building, the style it was built in, the number of years it's been lived in, the landscape it sits in, the surroundings it's set in? Is it the proximity to shops or schools or railway stations? Is it the geographical location? Or is there another element to the equation? In between the bricks and plaster, what is it that we're longing after? Home. It's more than just a residence. It's the inherent sense of safety, retreat, a place of rest for weary feet. Home is a place where whatever kind of day you've had, the good, the ugly, and the bad are all accepted. Whatever the weather, whether you're holding it all together or whether you've been undone, here you are welcome. Home is not so much the building as the people living in it. Father equals love without limit. Mother equals forever an embrace. For home is a place where you are known and understood, where you are free and safe to roam the neighbourhood, because the peace is kept, because the police protect, and the government, well, they do their best. Home stands the test of time, the test of all your grit and grime, and smiles and tears and laughter and fears, and becomes diamond set in our memory, and that is what makes home, home. But what happens when home becomes a place of fears? When mother is gone and father disappears, when friends mistreat you, when the police beat you, when the authorities betray you, when the government looks the other way, and the only people on your side are the ones you're prepared to pay.
Vietnam, 2006. Home equals a place of anger and oppression. Mother died in childbirth. Father equals pure aggression, seldom sober, always violent. Me? I keep my head down and stay silent. But this is all I've known. And to me, this is home.
Eritrea, 2001. Home equals a small, simple town. Father equals outcast, witch doctor. Killed, leaving us to live his reputation down. Mother equals all I have. The two of us, a team, escaping a society that's hostile and mean. Home is far from freedom's dream. What nightmare would cause a four-year-old and her mother clinging tightly to each other to leave all they have known and flee from home?
Vietnam, 2007. Home equals the cold ground beneath my feet. My father is gone, left me nothing but the streets. Mother equals not even a memory, but a prayer, faintly whispered on my lips, a hope grasped in my fingertips. I looked on powerless as it slips like sand out of my hands and lands at the feet of an unfamiliar man. My father's old friend, come to put my homelessness to an end, to give me food, shelter, clothing, care, and do I dare to hope for home?
Beirut, 2011. Now home equals a workplace. Mother equals the tired, aging face of a housekeeper. Father equals a list of chores, duties, and demands, and I'm a pair of busy hands, a nobody in a foreign land, a nameless child trying to lighten the load of her mother because they only have each other. Two outsiders who toil the day away, a mother who does not rest, a child who does not play, but we are thankful for a job, for a room, for a bed, for a roof over our head, for the means to be clothed and fed. For these four walls of stone, the closest thing we have to home.
Vietnam, February 2008. Home equals a lie. Mother equals a shattered dream. Father equals a broken promise. The stranger was not the savior he seemed, not a down and out defender, not a family friend, but a man looking for the means to his own end. And who am I now? Still a child, but no longer a son, trying to swallow the reality of what I've become. A servant, a slave, trapped, afraid, alone, no freedom, no rights, no mother, no father, no home.
The Aegean Sea, May 2013. Home equals a small, overcrowded boat. Father equals the angry sea on which we float. Mother equals my comfort and my hope. My consistency in an ever-changing world as across borders and across waves we are hurled again in search of safety. But safety is fickle and evasive, and in a moment it escapes me. Without warning, a mother is torn from her daughter and fades into the hungry water, leaving her child distraught and alone in the search for home.
China, January 2014. Home equals the back of a lorry. Mother equals the engine's steady hum. Father equals the men who pass me around. I am hidden cargo. My legs are numb, my stomach empty, and my throat bone dry. My tears are robbed by fear. I cannot even cry. I just wait and silently debate my outcome, my fate. Shaky, uncertain, but one thing I know, these men are not to be trusted. So with this, all the strength I can muster, the doors open, I go, legs working faster than my brain, but their strength is drained, slowed by the pain of so many days without use. I look down, I don't even have any shoes on. My hope fears. My tired legs stumble and give way. And the same cruel arms that capture take me whimpering back and deliver my beating, and I return to waiting. The lorry moves on, and I dream of home.
Greece, June 2013. Home equals a detention center. Father equals the officer who beats those whom he sees fit to beat. Mother equals a raw lament, still fresh in my grieving heart, playing on repeat. As I am scrutinized by faces mean and cold, my life just a problem to be solved. 11 days grind painfully away, and then they say, you can go. Go? Go where? And with whom? And to what end? There's a lady I met on the journey, the closest thing I have to a friend. I'll go with her. I close my eyes and send a prayer to I don't know where, a prayer for home.
October 2014. Home equals a dark room in an isolated house. Father equals two European men. Mother equals a feeble dream of a way out. As I am enslaved again, my days are endless work till my joints and muscles hurt. But in the end, what is its worth when it still doesn't earn me a single day without a beating? My thoughts return me to my father's violent treatment, to my days as a nameless servant, to this cruel pattern of slavery fast becoming my identity. There must be escape for me. I will break free or die trying. And as I run with arms and legs flying, pain becomes an insignificance. For there in the distance is a road, and the road leads to a service station. And I burst in desperation. Surely someone here can help and nurse me back to health and take me somewhere safe, somewhere I can call home.
Albania, August 2013. Home equals wherever our wandering feet have found us. Mother equals the other women who surround us. Father equals the men around us, directing our steps, dictating our stops, keeping us harnessed in their sight, making girls scream in the night. One night, I too am woken by rough hands and heavy breath, and my purity is taken. How can it be that my whole world is shaken without a moment for me to fall apart, to nurse a broken body or an aching heart? The journey carries on, and I can but weep in the night and long for home.
England, October 2014. Home equals a guarded cell. Mother equals a heavy metal door. Father equals the harsh clunk of the lock. I am a number staring at the floor of a prison cell. They tell me this is safety. I tell you this is hell. Locked up, boxed in. Only memories and nightmares for company. Dead ends beside me, behind me and in front of me. How am I supposed to dream in this, the land of the free, when I live under lock and key? There is little love in iron and stone. How can I call this home?
England, December 2013. Home equals a cell in a police station. Father equals the officials who constantly question. Mother equals the inner voice that keeps me calmer as my freshly buried trauma is dug up and spread out on the ground. My shame is written down and passed around. How can there now be an escape from the past I've grown to hate? I look down at the floor. Didn't they ask this question before? What will happen if they don't believe me? Where will I go if this new world won't receive me? My head is a blur. My breath is short, confused and scared about why I've been caught, locked away and questioned like a criminal. The kindness in their eyes gives me some comfort, but it's minimal compared to the panic in my exhausted head. Will I end up abused, imprisoned, or dead? Or will my future be kinder than my past? Will I find home at last? England,
present day.
Home equals a house full of empathy.
Father equals the face that smiles at me.
Mother equals the voice that teaches me.
This is more than a place to live for me. This is a family where I'm more than a client and more than just charity.
And I can clamber out of the calamity of my past and see the opportunities in front of me.
And who am I now? No longer an orphan, I become a son.
A daughter. No longer an outcast, I've become an insider.
No longer a victim, I've become a survivor. And with a hand to hold, I'm learning to thrive.
Taking the rubble of my past and building it into something that will last.
Something of immeasurable value, and for this, I thank you.
For compassion, for grace, for hope.
For patience when I've needed it most.
For love, for laughter.
For mother, for father, for home.